greenwashing is basically an attempt to pretend that you're providing environmental benefits or climate benefits or carbon benefits without fully doing it. Or what often happens is there's double counting or triple counting. And of course, if you can count the same thing three times, then it's a lot cheaper, right? And if we back up even more, this is my economics hat. Like, what is the fundamental problem here is that fossil fuels are inexpensive. And the fossil fuel companies and their allies would like to say, well, it's just, you know, it's a better technology, it's winning or whatever. But the real issue is what economists would call externalities. And the idea with the market economy is that a price reflects everything that goes on to make a product, right? But what's very well known in the economics profession is that there can be things called externalities, which are things that are not captured in the price. And that is very much what happens with fossil fuels. So if you have a coal plant and they make electricity and sell the electricity, and they spew out a whole bunch of stuff out of their smokestack, whether it's carbon into the climate, but even think of it, if it just lands on the neighbor's cars and windows and houses and yards, and one, they have to wash the car more often, that's really a cost of that coal plant, right? And so in theory, if you want to have a proper market system, that cost should be included in the market price. And so they should have to like pay something to their neighbor for them to clean their car, or pay something when their kid gets sick and goes to the hospital. They should have to pay for that because that's a part of the cost of making that electricity. Or in this day and age, if they put carbon into the atmosphere, that's a cost of making that electricity. If that cost is zero, it's a problem. And that, you know, this is well known in whole environmental economics or any kind of economics. You know, good economic policy is trying to make sets of basic rules so that costs and prices fairly reflect the actual impact on the economy and other people in the economy. And you want the market price to be a signal. And if it's to be an accurate signal, it should include the cost and the benefits should be included in what happens. So what happens with fossil fuels is they have a lot of externalities, mainly air pollution, water pollution, and now climate pollution in the form of carbon dioxide. They get to throw away for free. And if you go back, and it's not that long ago, when I was a kid, the Cuyahoga River in Cleveland caught on fire. These things happened. The Connecticut River was really not swimmable in the 60s because there were paper plants up the river and kind of questionable water quality, and it was not really advised to swim in it. But now that's been largely cleaned up because of various environmental rules, and you go, like right now, it's a sunny afternoon. If I walked down the Connecticut River, I would probably see 100 Dartmouth kids that are on the docks jumping in the river. And nobody thinks twice about jumping in the Connecticut River anymore. And that's in my lifetime. That's a change. And the problem was when you could just dump anything into the river for free, well, why not? It's free. You could dump your sewage in. You could dump the output from your factory in, from your pulp or paper plant. Just dump it in the river. But it was a cost because it made the river kill fish, made the river dirty, you can swim in it. And personally, I'm very thankful that we can swim in rivers and lakes now, and that the Cuyahoga River is not catching on fire, and that eagles are coming back. And, you know, there actually are a huge number of environmental successes. And the reason there are environmental successes is because some of those costs we have effectively brought into the actual price. Like now, if you have a paper mill, you have to treat the output before you put it into a river. So it becomes part of the cost of making that paper. Yeah, so that's been in 50 years, a really significant development. So fossil fuels still get away with that. They have to have some scrubbers on coal plants, although those rules are getting relaxed right as we talk. They're basically saying, no, you don't need to do that. You can, I mean, another example coming out of plants is acid rain. We don't hear about acid rain anymore, but the forests in the Northeast and especially the high mountain forests and the Adirondacks and the White Mountains were really dying off, and in Maine because of pollution largely from coal plants in Ohio and upwind from the Northeast. That we don't hear about acid rain anymore because a lot of those pollutants have been effectively controlled. And those costs now are paid for by the coal plants. So some of those costs are you know, we have environmental regulations have effectively given those costs back to the producers, and then they get passed on to consumers. Where that's not happened with is climate pollution, which is carbon dioxide. So there's zero cost. We can dump whatever you want into the atmosphere, and we all pay the price through increased hurricanes, increased wildfires, increased tornadoes, forest fires, you know, across the board. And we've certainly seen that even the last couple of years. It's front and center. Climate disasters are not future anymore. They're happening now around the world. So there's a large cost, and the fossil fuel company gets to give that cost over to society, and it's not reflected in their price. So that's, you know, that's sort of the big picture. So when solar comes along, well, it turns out that solar is actually, even without those things included in fossil prices, solar is still becoming less expensive. But, and partly as a result of that, the fossil industries and some of the utility industries are really worried about losing their business. So they're really fighting hard to try to keep solar down because they don't want to lose the business. And they want to have even freer access to polluting the air and polluting the water to lower their costs. And they want to make sure that there's no countervailing subsidies that go into other energy sources. And there has been a tax credit that has been very favorable to the solar industry for, you know, a number of years now, but the oil depletion allowance, for example, has been around for 100 years. So the oil industry, the fossil fuel industry has a whole long list of subsidies they've had for decades and or a century. And so the size of those, so they like to complain loud vociferously about any subsidies going to any other technology, but they themselves have received a lot of subsidies for a long, long time, both tax subsidies, but also the biggest one is not having to pay the cost of their pollution.